Eric Weiner began his journey to find his personal God after he made an unexpected visit to the emergency room. In that context of life or death, his own laid-back lack of belief seemed less than comforting, and he set out on a quest to find a God he could believe in. Can someone who has had a secular approach to religion discover faith in his middle age? Well, that's what his book is about. It's called Man Seeks God. It's published by 12, and I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our show. Hi.
Delighted to be here.
So what brought you to that emergency room?
Sharp shooting abdominal pain, to be specific about it. I don't like doctors or hospitals less than most people, but this was, couldn't ignore this. So I go to the ER, and they do a bunch of tests, and the doctor comes back and informs me that there's something, quote, funky on my CT scan. Never a good sign. And I am, how to put this, freaking out, basically. I'm scared. I'm afraid that...
Think you're going to die?
I just thought that this doctor looked worried, like there's something wrong, we don't know, we're calling in a specialist. And, you know, I do tend to be a hypochondriac, but there's nothing worse for a hypochondriac than having actual verifiable evidence that something might be wrong with you. So I'm there nervous, my mind is spinning, I'm afraid, and this nurse walks in to draw blood. And she must have picked up on my fear because, you know, it was palpable. And she leans down and she whispers in my ear the following words. Have you found your God yet?
Well, a lot of people just would dismiss that. She would be a religious person who is trying to proselytize, and that would be that.
Right. Well, it had two effects. One was the immediate effect of really freaking me out because, you know, has she seen my CT scan? Does she know something? I mean, this is the way my mind was spinning.
She's suggesting that you might die and you
that you might be meeting your maker, yeah. Like, because now would be a good time to find your God, Mr. Weiner. And long story short, I was not dying. It was, in fact, a very severe and prolonged case of gas. Embarrassing, but true. After 3 days of tests to determine this, they released me from the hospital, and I'm okay. And I'm back to my everyday secular existence. I mean, I was raised as a nominally Jewish. Really, we were gastronomical Jews. You know,
did you have a bar mitzvah?
I did, and that was the end of my Judaism. And that is common for lots of Jews. We didn't talk about God very much. We were very secular. But that question just wouldn't go away. Have you found your God yet? And notice the way she phrased it. Not have you found God or the God or a God, but have you found your God, you know, as if there was just one out there waiting for me. So I decided not to dismiss this or not just to joke about this because that's my kind of reflexive defense mechanism, but to actually answer her question seriously.
But she, as a Christian, might very well be talking about your personal savior.
She might have been. This hospital was called Holy Cross, so that might explain something. But, you know, I'm sure that that question was not standard operating procedure for scared patients. You know, in a way, it's kind of irrelevant where she was coming from. She asked that question. She phrased it in that specific way, and I took it and I ran with it literally around the world.
Well, you say we are, as Americans, running from religion, but not from God. Isn't a majority of American church going?
A majority is. A vast majority, 93% of Americans, believe in God or some higher power. But what does that really tell us? You know, we have these inadequate categories when it comes to God. We have on the one hand what I would call true believers, people who are very certain in their truth and in their belief and in their faith. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have hardcore atheists who are just as certain in their belief. And in the middle, we have this great, you know, territory where most of us reside.
Well, there must be a lot of people in the religious side because politicians right now are running ads that declare their religious faith. They are accusing their opponents of not being religious enough.
Yes.
And Rick Perry has even put together a faith-based convention.
I'll say this. The politics of religion, I think, is one reason why the politicization of religion is the reason why the fastest single group of Americans are the nones, N-O-N-E-S, people who, when asked for a religious affiliation, say, I am none. And they're not atheists for the most part. And these people are, I think, put off by the mixing of politics and religion, and they don't want to show their hand for fear of being put in one camp or the other.
You spent many years as a reporter for NPR mm-hmm. and for the New York Times. Is journalism a profession designed for skeptics?
Yes. And I think skepticism is good, but it often veers into cynicism. And I think that can be a dangerous thing. To be perfectly honest, in the circles that I travel, sort of Washington, New York, Acela Corridor area, God is not spoken of except in a mocking, dismissive way. And I had to sort of fight against that because I've internalized that myself.
The New York Times published a piece of yours about Americans and religion this past right. Sunday. Have the letters started coming in?
Yes. All
what
kinds.
Are people saying?
Well, some people say I need help. And some people say, I should say in this piece, I basically argue, as I am here, that we do a terrible job talking about God. And that most of us, in fact, are in this middle territory, somewhere between true believers and atheists. And that we should speak up more. And that we need, in a way, to have a new way of approaching religion and how we talk about it and even how we think about it.
Well, you spent some time as a reporter in Jerusalem, didn't
yes.
you? Where religion is almost like the focal point of everything that happens, even for people who aren't religious.
And I was at my least religious while living in Jerusalem and reporting for NPR. I mean, keep in mind, you know, I was covering a conflict for the most part and on a daily basis, and I was really seeing religion at its worst, at its most political, at its most violent. And, you know, I set out in this book very deliberately sort of acknowledging up front there's a lot of bad done in the name of religion. I know that. We all know that. You can find that elsewhere. And I was looking to find essentially religion at its best.
My guest is Eric Weiner, whose latest book is Man Seeks God, My Flirtations with the Divine. And that title, Man Seeks God, is like the heading of a Craigslist ad.
Yes.
Did you write the complete text of that ad? You start off chapters with kind of little want ad blurbs.
I did. I can even read it to you. It's not very long.
Go ahead.
But this is my feeling was that there's almost a kind of courtship that goes on. You know, one out of three of us are changing our religious affiliation over the course of our lifetime. So we're looking. We're seeking for a faith that fits. And we're looking for certain qualities in this religion, much the way we're looking for a soulmate. So somewhat tongue-in-cheek and somewhat serious, I came up with this ad. Now, I call myself a confusionist, someone who's sort of meta-agnostic, deeply confused about matters of faith. So I'm a confusionist white male, young in heart, open-minded, God-curious, seeks omniscient deity for fun, maybe more. Me, funny, endearingly neurotic, loves books and bags, likes to watch, hoping for more. You, all-powerful but kind and loving, sense of humor, health-conscious, good with kids, talker. Please, no smokers or smiters. Are you the answer to my prayers? Serious replies only.
Well, that's very jokey, but were you hoping to find a transcendent religious experience?
Yes, I was. And in that humor, there's some seriousness as well. The phrase, like to watch, that's me. A journalist for all these years. A trained observer, the journalist's creed is don't get involved. And I made a point in this book to get involved, to take it seriously with humor to help it go down more smoothly, but to experience these varieties of religion.
Well, you did say you had an experience in Tokyo once that you could almost categorize as religious.
Spiritual, yes.
And a lot of people prefer to use the word spiritual rather than religious.
And
is there a big difference there?
I've heard it said that religion is spirituality plus politics. There may be some truth to that. And I met a lot of people, especially people in California, who like to say they are spiritual but not religious. And I do think that's a mistake. I think in a way, again, they're afraid the word religion or religious has taken on such meaning, such a political meaning in this country that people are afraid to claim that. It would be nice to reclaim it.
Now, you said one in three people changes religion over the course of a lifetime. And Newt Gingrich went from Southern Baptist to Catholic. But is that the sort of thing we tend to see, or is it more likely that somebody brought up a Catholic, a Jew, a religious Protestant would become a Buddhist or
it's
Hindu?
It's everything. That shift that Newt Gingrich made would count as the one in three. But so would my friend James Hopkins, who is a former investment banker who moved to Kathmandu, became a Buddhist when he was raised Presbyterian, or a Jew who becomes a Sufi, part of the Muslim faith. So it's all kinds of switching, small gradations and huge leaps.
And you decided to check out a whole bunch of different ones, began with Sufism.
I did. I wanted to sort of dive into Islam.
But you didn't go to Turkey, where you would have found Sufis, or some of the other countries where Sufism is, would probably be more dangerous for you.
Well, not initially.
You went to California?
I went to California and signed up for Sufi camp, which is a great juxtaposition of words. I was drawn to the California experience and to this sort of way to dive into Sufism. There were also... their motto was, come drink with the beloved. So I was hoping there'd be some
but
wine.
But that's almost presenting Sufism, which has a great tradition, as a New Age religion.
And that is exactly the problem I found in California, and why after some time at Sufi camp, I felt the need to get the heck out of there, because it was sort of watered down. I have to be honest that religion is a lot like cuisine. It doesn't always travel well. It gets kind of mushy when it arrives on these shores. So I did go to Turkey after my brief experience in California. And I decided at that moment that I needed as much as possible to go to the source of these religions.
Who told you not to read Rumi?
A Sufi sheikh of sorts. And that kind of floored me because, you know, that's sort of like a Catholic saying don't read the Bible. Rumi is the
great... St. Augustine.
Yeah, exactly. Rumi is the great... that's probably a better analogy. You're right. Rumi was the great Sufi poet of the 13th century and beloved. And I think what this Sufi sheikh named Metin was trying to get across to me was experience, you know, to get your head out of books. And it's so easy to read and to underline. I mean, Joseph Campbell was once asked what his spiritual practice was, and he said, I underline books. And that's been kind of me. And I'm so much more comfortable in a book than I am in any other situation.
You went to Kathmandu to check out Tibetan Buddhism, but Buddhism doesn't have a godhead.
No.
And you're seeking God.
God in the broadest sense of the world. They do have gods in Tibetan Buddhism, but they believe that an enlightened man is above the gods, which is a fascinating concept. Buddhism is, in every sense of the word, a religion, but you're right. They don't believe in a supreme being.
And then you went to a Franciscan monastery in the South Bronx. Was that geographically unexplored territory for you, as exotic as Kathmandu?
Yes. In a way, it was harder to sort of immerse myself in Catholicism than in the more exotic faith. So here was a religion that I know or should know, but in fact, I realized I knew very little about the Bible. And also, you know, as a Jew, even a gastronomical Jew, sitting in Catholic Mass in the South Bronx at 6 a.m., trying to cross myself, but flailing really made me very uncomfortable.
You also tried a pretty far out group, the Ray Aliens.
Yes.
You went to Wicca. There's a Wiccan who works at NPR. You probably could have just checked with her.
I could have.
But it's interesting that you wrote in your op-ed piece that religion needs its Steve Jobs. Well, Steve Jobs is, from my reading of his biography, was a rather troubled soul. What are you talking about here?
Here's what I'm talking about. Steve Jobs didn't really invent anything new. He didn't invent the microprocessor or the computer as we know it, but he invented a relationship. Our relationship with technology has changed, as anyone who's using an iPhone or an iPad knows, because of Steve Jobs. And I think likewise, our relationship with religion, the way we interact with it, the way we talk about it, needs to change. We need to talk about politics less and the sort of personal experiences that really matter to people more.
So did any of this change you? Have you found God?
Yes and no. I don't have a Hollywood ending for you. I haven't gone off into the sunset with you know, my newfound God. But I was surprised by a few things. When I explored Judaism, I was, to be honest, hoping to sort of cross it off my list quickly and get on with the more exotic faiths, but I found much there in the way of Kabbalah. And I was ultimately convinced that one does need a foundation, that if I'm going to create what I call the sort of IKEA God, some assembly required, that just like putting together a piece of IKEA furniture, you need a good solid base, some decent materials, and the right tools.
Eric Weiner has been a foreign correspondent for NPR and the New York Times, and he's written for most of the major publications. He wrote the bestseller, The Geography of Bliss, and his latest book is called Man Seeks God, My Flirtations with the Divine. It's published by 12. Thank you so much for being with us again.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks.